The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
You may have noticed a story, I think it was yesterday, that was detailing how the latest trend for Botox is getting Botox in your feet. For some reason, this facilitates the wearing of high heels. I'm sketchy on the details. So to explain the details, not just of that, but what are the cosmetic procedures that A, people are getting done at the moment, and B, that are effective and worth considering if that is something that you're in the genre of considering. I'm joined by Dr. Emma Cunningham, who is an aesthetic doctor and founder of Dr. Emma Clinics in Newry and Slieve-Donard, and Liz Dwyer, who is the co-founder of the Future Beauty and Health Show and co-host of Fess Up podcast on the Go Loud Network. And Liz, let me start with you, because when you walked in, I mentioned the foot Botox thing to you and said, are you familiar with this? And you said, not only were you familiar with it, but that you were a victim of it.
I was, yeah.
Why?
I don't know if victim is the right word. I was a guinea pig myself. I've always guinea pig myself. I've been a journalist and I've been reporting on aesthetics and beauty for 20 years now. So for the most part, I will put myself forward to test these treatments, tweakments, within reason.
Did you say tweakments?
Yeah, we call them tweakments. So they're not they're above a treatment because they're generally within the medical clinical realm. So it's something that might involve a needle or something a bit more aggressive that you would get in a normal beauty clinic.
Why would you want Botox on your feet?
It stops them sweating and it stops pain. So it's double fold. Yeah. So, I mean, and it's not just for high heels. I mean, there's a high heel factor as well, but also people, I know lots of medical people do it. If they're working in ORs and so forth, it stops their feet sweating. They do it in their hands, stop their hands sweating, underarms to stop hyperhidrosis. It's a sweating condition. So it helps. But particularly a lot of women have used it for the high heel situation. Now, I have a better trick. You can just put the Botox cream on your feet. The cream that they put on you pre-Botox in the, it's a lidocaine cream, you shouldn't be using it all the time. And this is totally off label and not medically recommended. But if you're just doing it for your high heels, you could just slap on the numbing cream for half an hour before you go out, put on the high heels and bada bing, you won't feel your feet for a few hours.
Let me come back to the numbing in a second. Is the sweating for people who have hyperactive sweat production, or does everybody who wears high heels have a challenge with sweating in high heels?
Oh God, I couldn't speak for everybody, but I mean, you get sweaty feet and it also really depends on the shoe. If we're really going to go into the nitty gritty, like cheap, nasty shoes, you know what I mean, are going to make you sweat more than obviously a lovely leather, you know, breathable fabric. So, I mean, there's a lot to go into that.
Now, my understanding was that the damage vector in leprosy was that you got numbed to the pain, therefore didn't notice when you injured yourself and did yourself catastrophic damage. Okay. Is there a similar risk with numbing your feet when you are going to put them in an environment where pain might give you a notification that you're doing them harm?
Well, that's true. I mean, well, so Botox, it's not going to complete, like if you were talking about the cream, you know, it's not that effective that you're not going to feel anything. If you're talking about Botox, it's more that it, you know, it just helps a little bit. It's not going to completely knock off all your nerves at all.
Well, Dr. Emma Cunningham is with us as well, as I said, aesthetic doctor and founder of Dr. Emma Clinics in Newry and Slieve-Donard. Emma, give us a sense of what it is that people are coming to you seeking. Is foot Botox high on the list?
Most certainly not in my clinic. Now, I do have patients who attend for treatment of hyperhidrosis in areas like their heads and their underarm and their hands. But I haven't yet had someone attend for foot Botox for that reason, or for the reason of the high heels, actually. So it's not something I've encountered. The majority of my clinic is sort of people seeking treatments, sort of anti-aging treatments, so regenerative medicine, so the likes of Botox, but more in line with, you know, to treat lines and wrinkles, filler and other, the newest sort of regenerative treatments like the salmon sperm injections. And, you know, there is a whole host of treatments that people attend for, but the foot Botox hasn't been one as yet.
Sorry, I don't mean to fixate. Salmon sperm injections.
Yes, this is definitely something that's trending. I know Liz would know all about it, but it is something that is trending at the moment. So it's another name for it is polynucleotide injections. So they essentially work by, I guess in a layman's terms, they stimulate your own body to produce collagen. So in turn, improve skin quality on sort of every area of the body, if you want to go into it, but mostly on the face.
At which parts of the face do you inject with the salmon sperm?
So it's quite common to do sort of around the eyes. So when people attend and perhaps they're not indicated for the use of filler under the eye, you can then use these polynucleotide injections instead. So under the eye is quite popular, but you can use them across the entire face.
And does the injection itself act as a filler, or do you get a biological reaction to the injection that causes a beneficial swelling?
Yes, that's it. So you don't get a fill. It's not a filler in any way. So you get a biological response. So it's more in line, sort of going down the regenerative medicine route. So it's not a filler. It doesn't work like the hyaluronic acid fillers that are on the market. It's totally different to that.
Liz, you started this by saying that you had guinea pigged yourself with almost everything. Have you had this?
Oh yeah, loads. A few years ago, I feel like this is old news at this point. It's only Kim Kardashian like made it, you know, trending in the last few months. Yeah, again, but it's been knocking around for a good few years. Polynucleotides, exosomes, it stems ironically from stem cells. You know, we've been working on stem cell regenerative medicine for many, many years in sports science, in all sorts of medicine, and it's just found its way into aesthetics. But I mean, the salmon sperm, that's a bit of a facetious tagline for it. It is actually, it refers to an element they take out of it's not just salmons, it comes from many animals. It's an animal product generally, and they take a tiny element from the DNA and they remove all traceability. Like, you're not going to inject this and suddenly start growing gills, basically. They remove all DNA, whether it's from a deer or a fish or whatever, and they take the active element of the cell, and then they multiply that by a billion in a lab. So by the time it gets to you, it's only, you know, a teeny, teeny, teeny bazillionth of the animal particle at the original, but as Emma said, it just goes in, kickstart the cells, and makes them behave as if they're younger again.
Now, Emma, does this kind of stuff start as a cosmetic treatment? Because obviously the shift from botulism to Botox was in part a medical treatment for the kind of things like hyperperspiration. Are these treatments that start off down a different medical route and people discover this is useful cosmetically, or are they planned as cosmetics?
I think, sort of similar to what Liz has said, I know that these treatments have been used in sports medicine, so in healing, sort of like healing injuries. And then I think with everything, it tends to make its way into the aesthetic realm. People want to see how it can be used then to benefit or sort of give you that younger look. It's what everybody is seeking, to look younger for longer.
And they're seeking, sorry to cut over you, they're trying, I think, yeah. The big trend now is that we're trying to seek to look younger, not necessarily younger, but better, with the most natural way. For the last 20 years, mm-hmm. we've been putting stuff in, i.e. Botox, fillers, implants, whatever it is. It's been putting something not natural into our bodies. And now very much there's been a huge sea change. It's like, let's try use what we have in our bodies to reactivate our youthful selves ourselves. So we're using our own infrastructure, body cellular infrastructure, to make ourselves younger.
So what's trendy now?
So, I mean, as we said, Botox, exosomes.
Hang on, what's an exosome?
Exosome is similar to polynucleotides. It's this regenerative medicine concept whereby, as I said, we're using our own cells to kind of make ourselves younger. You know, literally the Benjamin Button effect. You know, like, it was science fiction, but it's no longer. And I mean, again, we're moving very much away. What's trending is not looking frozen. I mean, we've been moving away from that for a while. It's this kind of holistic beauty is what's trending. You know, no longer we're
but
going
nobody
in.
Goes into a beautician and says, I'd like a bit of holistic beauty. They go in surely seeking a thing to be fixed or a treatment they've heard about. What are those things that...
Herein is the problem, because they shouldn't go in saying, fix my eyebrows or whatever. They should go in saying, you know, do what you can to me. We call it beautification. So, like, make me, I'd say, a better, not necessarily better, but, like, you know, it's more like about facial balancing. It's about features and stuff, as opposed to chasing lines and freezing expression and so forth. That's kind of become very passé.
Emma, is that what you're finding?
I think, Anton, as Liz said, I think the problem within the aesthetic industry comes down to that. Patients attend perhaps sort of with this pick and mick attitude, but what needs to happen is that they attend for a thorough consultation whereby you as the medical professional are advising them on what is best for them. So, you know, there's a lot of people that have been treated perhaps with the wrong treatments, and I think that's why aesthetic medicine has gotten such a bad rap. And this is particularly when you are dealing with fillers. There's people that have been filled in the wrong place, and it's kind of led to this alienization sort of people. where they don't look like themselves. They look completely different because they have basically gone in and told a practitioner what they want and it's been done. So I think the take-home message for me is that every person should present and they should be consulted as an individual according to what the clinician sees in front of them and obviously in line with what the patient has come complaining about.
Well, it's ironic as you're talking, texts are coming in asking about specific body parts and what can be done for them. What, like, for instance, any treatment for tech neck?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's I have lines problem. On neck. What's tech neck?
Tech neck is just like neck. I mean, and it also very much women, particularly, I think Zoom really kind of kickstarted this obsession with the jowls and neck because you're constantly, you know, your neck is down like this. So it does, you know, make the jowls come on faster effectively. And, you know, if you're constantly 8 hours a day, if you're in this position, you know, it's not good for your posture. It's not good for anything, but it's particularly not good for your jawline. So I'm sure Emma knows there's lots of, as we call them, treatments out there, tweakments to snatch your jawline back up into its supermodel status.
Final thing, give me a sense, Liz, of how much do people spend on tweakments and treatments in like a given year? What's a sort of a, for the people who are listening to your podcast?
Yes.
What kind of money are they putting into?
I mean, literally, it could be anything from 300 euros. It, like, people always say, I don't do aesthetics. And I'm like, have you had a teeth bleaching treatment? Have you had a laser? Have you had your veins lasered, perhaps? Have you had a mole lasered off? It's all within the aesthetic realm. It's not just the kind of the vanity-led stuff. There's an awful lot of physiological stuff going on there as well. Have you had stress incontinence treated? They're all under the aesthetic realm now, you know? So it could be anything from 200 euros to 200 grand. I mean, literally, you know, how long is a piece of string? It's up to you. It's up to your bank balance, I suppose. But the main thing is to spend it on the right treatment that's going to yield you the right result.
Liz, thank you very much. Likewise, thank you to Emma. That is Liz Dwyer, co-founder of Future Beauty and Health Show and co-host of the Fess Up podcast on the Go Loud Network. And Dr. Emma Cunningham, of course, aesthetic doctor and founder of Dr. Emma Clinics in Newry and Slieve Donard. And we should be absolutely clear, always check with a medical professional before you get anything done to any part of you. Go have a word with the GP before you get anything tweaked.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.